Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Thank you. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. Who was and who is to come. Jesus is holy. Holy he is. We thank God for this opportunity to be in the land of the living. Thank God for every symptom that we feel in our body, knowing that he is our healer, he is our deliverer. Every situation that we have to deal with in this earth realm, we thank God for, because we know that he is our deliverer, that he is the one that fixes the things that we can't fix, as long as we give them to him and let go, and we let him. Father, we pray, God, today that, oh God, that we'll be in the number when you come. The word says that you was and is to come. So, Father, we're looking forward to that day when you return to this earthly realm to receive your church, your bride. We ask, oh God, today that you would touch your servants. Lord, not just touch them, Lord, but you would impart revelation in them today that we have not even comprehend before, Lord God. We ask, even as they go into the word, as they study, Lord, let the word come alive in such a miraculous way that they begin to see something different to what they saw before. Oh God, we ask you to touch their eyes, their ears, and their lips of clay, that as they speak, God, that demons will begin to tremble, oh God. Demons will begin to bow to your word, oh God, and to your spirit, God. We pray, God, that as the word go forth, that many hearts will be cut, oh God, and heal at the same time, Lord God, that those that don't know you will come to know you, Lord Jesus, near and far. Oh, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, we'll go off the line for a minute because we have to send some money out to Africa and India. So we're just thanking God. We're praising God for, Lord, that he gives us what we need when we need it, Lord. We can put add to what we get to help the people. Lord, we're not living to be a hoarder of things, Lord, but we are living, oh God, that we can be givers, oh God, to help those that are less fortunate than us, Lord. We just thank you for saturating the atmosphere with your glorious presence, oh God. The worship was so awesome this morning, Lord, how you touched the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, and the west wind with the worship that you wanted to go forth this morning, Lord. You have sterilized the atmosphere. You have sanctified the atmosphere, Lord, and we thank you right now. And without further ado, we introduce the sermon present to all Bishop James Washington and Apostle Linda Washington out of Slidell, Louisiana. Come on in and let the Lord use you. Come on in, man of God, woman of God. Come on in and allow the Lord to use you. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Lord God Almighty, we thank you for allowing us to be in the land of the living today. Bring forth the message to everyone, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that our overseer is well, and he's talking very well, that his family is well, and everybody on the line is well. Hallelujah. And that if anyone has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they take this opportunity today as I do the prayer of salvation at the end of the lesson, that they would understand that the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our only salvation. I know there's many, many people all around the world now that are saying there's 5, 6, 7, 8 ways to get to heaven. The only way is Jesus, the way. They can say whatever they want, but please understand, it's only Jesus. God sent his only son into this world, not to condemn the world, but to save it, to give us eternal life. No one else was qualified. That's why we must receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Otherwise, we will be lost for eternity, but suffering with the pains of hell, but more suffering the separation from Jesus. We don't want to do that. I urge everyone at the end of this session, when it's time for the prayer of salvation, that you do receive Jesus and you receive him as your Lord and Savior. And anyone who has backslidden, please come back home. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know what to say. You know what to do. You don't have to do it. You know, do it when I do it. You can do it now because you know. Get behind me, Satan. You're trying it again. I rebuke that enemy trying to disrupt this message. Now, as we go further on, Apostle Linda Washington will be starting the lesson here shortly. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. You are our strength and our redeemer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are and all of your glory. Hallelujah. Now, Apostle Linda, are you ready?
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The phone is off. The phone went off. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Greetings to all of you saints of God and those who will become saints by doing exactly what Bishop was talking about a minute ago. Take that from her, please. She's got partner. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you for everything, man of God, and thanks to all of the saints on the line for being here with us today. And I'm so glad we were able to be here this morning to praise the Lord and worship our glorious God. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. Amen. Our topic today is one that we need all the topics, but this particular topic is about resting in Jesus. And a lot of us find it difficult to rest normally. And to rest in Jesus without knowing that we absolutely can rest in him, even more of a problem. So let's praise him. And let's see what the Lord has to say about this subject. I'm going to rest in Jesus. I know about resting in Jesus because since I've been a believer and since I've been walking with the Lord, I have learned to rest in Jesus. And through all of what we go through, I'm resting. And I hope you all are resting in Jesus as well.
Yes.
But we can't rest in Jesus if we don't have some real active faith to obey our living God, his ability to take care of all of us. So do you have enough faith to trust him with everything concerning your life? Because he has told us he's concerned about all of our concerns. And when we trust with the job, the business, your home, with your family concerns, we can trust him when we're ill. We can trust him all the time. That's what it takes because life has its twists and turns. And so we're going to start out with our first scripture. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him. We have to acknowledge God. Once we acknowledge him, we won't have any problem trusting him. And I know, like all of you, that we just go through stuff. And You know, I've said before that God has not promised us that we wouldn't have any problems. He hasn't promised us we would have a bed of roses. He has not promised us that we wouldn't have any trouble. Matter of fact, he said he would be an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So therefore, that's letting us know we're going to have some trouble. He said we'll have trials, we'll have tribulations. There's going to be tests. There are going to be times when we're going through the fire, but it's okay because God is always with us. He has promised that. And because of every promise of the word of God, everything that he has ever promised us makes us know that we can rest in him. Hallelujah. 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 We praise our living God. Hallelujah. And what a delight it is. What a pleasure it is to know that our God is taking care of us in everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's go. We go to another scripture. Like I say, we're talking about resting in Jesus' day. Hallelujah. I know I can rest because there's a scripture that says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That's so good to know, because that he that's in the world is the enemy. What? Okay, come on. Come on. Just don't get into nothing. Excuse me, y'all. We puppy sit every day. But anyway, so we have to understand that God is greater than everything, everybody, all of his creation, all of heaven above, everything that God created, every man he made, he is greater. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. He's above all. His name is above all names, all. Hallelujah. And so we can trust that his word is true. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it reads, you, dear children, are born or from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, all of, this is one of the things that makes me know I'm safe in God, because he's greater. He's greater than anybody and everything. And so it's very powerful. This verse has a very powerful meaning. It means that any believer who lives in Jesus knows that he is the most powerful, that he is able to do all things. He's able to strengthen us when we are weak, when we feel so weak. We may feel like, oh my God, I feel like I can't put one foot in front of the other. But when we call on the name of Jesus, I hear Bishop do it all the time. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I hear him say it all through the day, because we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So when we live in the word, live for the word, in the word, just walking in it, is very powerful, because we have to remember, greater is he in us than he that's in the world. And this is an amazing thing. It's very amazing. It's a guarantee. It's guaranteed that God is greater than anything, and any followers of Jesus will endure or face anything that we have to face in this world, because we belong to God. So this verse, a blessing. It's a blessed assurance, and it's encouragement for all of us, for all of the Christians that go through so much, because we must carry our cross. We must carry our cross, Jesus said. Take up your cross and follow me. And so we don't have to worry or fear, because we're safe with Jesus. But all we know is that we know that we got his peace. peace is peace in the power of God who lives in us, Bishop. So this verse is such a wonderful promise to everyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So real for me because I've been trusting him for many years and I've been through much and I've cried many tears. However, I still have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, and there's always joy in my tears because I still have him. No matter what's going on, we still have him. No matter what the hardship, no matter what the battle, he has promised that the battle is not ours, it's his. And so we are going to encounter difficult and deceitful people, you see. But this verse right here gives us confidence that God lives in us. And this same God who lives in us helps us to overcome all trouble, overcome the ugliness, overcome in every way whenever we are attacked. So just know that it does happen and that you're not the only one. We're not the only one. Christians around the world are suffering. People are suffering, and we pray for the people that are suffering today. We pray for those of us, our brothers and sisters who are carrying their crosses and going through, but going through with a smile on our face, even through the tears and the grief and the struggle, we can still have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Glory to God. Glory to God. John chapter 16, verse 33. It reads this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, I've overcome the world. You see, the Apostle Paul taught us this. You don't have to be afraid or disheartened in the same way as non-believers because Jesus has overcome the darkest and hardest troubles. On the cross, before he took his last breath, he said, it is finished. It is finished. So everything for our lives is finished. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's go there, please. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Let's go a little further here. We're established in love through Christ Jesus. We're rooted, we're grounded, and we are steadfast. Because we're rooted, because we're grounded in the word, we are steadfast. We are standing, but we're not standing alone. Jesus is right there beside us. We're safe. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go to another scripture now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you see, it's difficult to understand for some people. Scripture tells us that God is greater than every evil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hold on. Glory to God. So once we acknowledge that Jesus is from God, we're always going to know that we can trust him. He is our holy redeemer. He is alive. Jesus Christ is not dead. His spirit is alive. And we must trust him. Hallelujah. And there are those that have the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist is here. And we are going to hear a lot of things that are not of God. We are going to hear people say that what we believe is not true. we're going to hear a lot of negative as we walk through this word. We all know that as we are seasoned, many of us are seasoned on this line, and many of us know these things. But as we are dear children from God, we have overcome those that throw the negatives out. We have overcome the enemy that throws, that shoots out the darts, those fiery darts that can try to take us out of our faith. But we're going to continue moving on in the Lord as long as we continue to worship him and praise him. We are going to know that we can trust him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go to Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. Let's go there. Let's get it. Psalm 18.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I got the Bible. Okay. I am Psalm 18. Huh? Yeah. We're going to Psalm 18, and then we're going to go to Matthew, and we have a few others to go to. Psalm 18, I'll pass it up. 1-3. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. Thank you, Lord. It reads, verse 1, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My rock, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. And I have been saved from my enemies. Glory to God. And so we're gonna preach from here, and also we're gonna be going to the book of Matthew. So you can turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Two verses in Matthew, one in chapter 10 and one in chapter 23. So we'll be going there. Hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all so much.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Glorious Master, we thank you. Well, let's go. We just read the scripture here. Let's talk about it a little bit. We want Jesus Christ to dwell among us, but he's only going to dwell among us when we praise him, worship him, and believe that he's able to keep us. Do anything. Believe in the entire word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're just going to rest. I'm talking about resting today. The Holy Spirit gave us this topic because, you know, when there's a lot going on, we have to stay focused and we have to ask God for wisdom while we're going through, so we can keep going through and not get stagnated, not lose our focus, but continue to going through no matter what mountain may be standing. We know that we can cast that mountain down. Hallelujah. According to the word of God, we can cast every mountain down. We have to take authority over everything that's going on. Hallelujah. Because the authority comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, that power that's in us. The one who said is greater in us than he that's in the world. We have that power in us. And so that power, when we allow that power to exude, when we know we have that power, we will take authority over everything that's not like God. Amen. But that authority comes from God. It is not our authority. It's God's authority.
Hallelujah.
So we today honor God. We honor God in everything we do. I'm talking about Bishop and I and some of you on the line who honors our Father in heaven. And we do hallow his name. Hallelujah. I want to say this. During the time that David was running from Saul, he was in constant danger of death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this psalm that I just read, he has been delivered from his enemies. And he lifts his voice in praise to the Lord God, the Lord God, who has given him the victory. Hallelujah. The victory is ours, because greater is he in us than he that's in the world. Because Jesus said, the word says, I am that I am. I am that I am is with us. He is our that in everything. I am that I am. He is God. He is powerful. He's our all in all. And so David knows this. After all he had been through, he's still praising God. He was in constant danger of death. For years, David was on the run. But now he's been delivered from his enemies, and he's lifting his voice in praise to the Lord God, who has given him victory.
Hallelujah.
And I have good news. Good news. My testimony is that God has given me victory, given us victory. We have the victory. And whatever we're doing, whatever we're going through, we just say, God, we thank you for the victory. We thank you for the victory because we know we're covered with your blood. Glory be to God. You shed your blood, Jesus Christ, so we would have victory over all evil. Glory be to God, because Jesus has already won the battle. It's already done. Hallelujah. So we see here that David is praising unto the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, when I was saved by the Lord, he gave me victory over all enemies. When Bishop was saved and you're saved, we have victory over all of our enemies. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking me here. Now, we who are hounded by the devil, now we are hounded, but we are confident that even though the hound dog comes after us, even though this evil one comes after us to try to destroy us, we know he can't, because we have the victory. No matter how much he hounds us, no matter how much adversity comes, we know that we have the victory, right? But when I wasn't saved, I didn't know that I was in danger of dying and going to hell. I wasn't even thinking about it. Dying without Jesus. But we weren't, I went to Catholic schools, but they never taught us that we would die without Jesus. That we would literally die the second death. That never was taught to us. But they told us about the Holy Spirit, told us about Jesus. We had church every morning. We had church on Saturdays. We had church on Sunday. Literally 7 days a week we went to church. We really did go to church 7 days a week. But we weren't really having church, because we weren't really being taught that we are the church and that the word of God, our to have. Hallelujah. And we weren't really taught about the blood. We weren't really taught about the things that we are teaching right now, that we have learned about God through everything we know that Jesus Christ is our refuge. He's our strength. We know all these things now because now we delve into the Word of God and we learn things about God. We learn about his ways. We learn about everything that we need to know because God will keep us in that realm of learning, getting new revelation knowledge. Lay down, Missy. Come on, you want to come on? Come on. You coming? Okay. So when we're saved by the Lord, we have victory over every enemy. And we're no longer in danger of dying without Jesus Christ because we've been saved, like Bishop was talking about. We've been saved through his grace. It's not something we can work for. It's grace. And since we have been saved and delivered from the wicked wiles of the enemy, the snare of the devil, then we also have a reason. I have a reason to praise God. I have so many reasons to praise God. The primary reason is that he is God. He is who he is. Hallelujah. He does what he does, and there's nothing we can do about it. We have a reason to praise God, but except that he is God. You see, I won't have enough time to study this whole psalm. We're just touching on it a little bit. But I just want to spend a few minutes here because it speaks to what I'm feeling in my spirit. Hallelujah. And all through these past months, I've been saying to God, thank you for the victory, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're helping me to carry this cross. I'm not carrying it alone. And Bishop mentioned last night that Simon of Cyrene was made to help Jesus, was made to help Jesus when Jesus was falling down with the cross. Jesus was falling because we fall. We fall down. But we get up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus was falling, but Simon the Cyrene takes the cross and he carries it. Now God, our Father, gives Simon the Cyrene the strength to carry the cross and help his son. He gives him this help. But keep in mind, the soldiers had to make him do it. He didn't want to do it. And isn't this true of us? When we look at that, just look at that, many of us don't really want to carry the cross. Many of us don't really want to suffer. Many of us don't want to face the challenges. We don't want to. We just want it to be all good. And to be honest, the way I feel, that it's all good in God. Everything I go through, it is well. I always say it is well, it is good. And the other day, I opened my Bible. I was feeling a bit distraught, just feeling a little down. And we go through that. Even believers go through that. And I opened the Bible, and I opened to the Bible about the story of the Shunammite woman whose son had died, but she would not say he was dead. She knew she had to go to the man of God, to Elijah, and she did. The whole time she was on that road, on that trip to the prophet, she said, it is well. It is well. And that's one of the things I say all the time. No matter what's going on, it is well. So he brought me, I just opened the Bible. I said, let me read my word. Whenever you're feeling a little down, I wasn't doubting God. She's got cellophane. I don't know where that comes from. She's being big. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Reminding us of who you are and what you've already done, God. We praise you, Lord. And we know what you can do for us, God. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sing hallelujah. We sing glory be to God. We sing, oh, what a mighty, awesome God you are. Lord, you have kept us through it all, Father. And we thank you. So like I said, go into that book. It blessed me so. God will personally minister to you. And I started to read that story again. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my life. It is well with my family. We can just say it is well because God is always on the scene. Even when we were sinners, when we were in the dark, Jesus Christ was watching. He was there. And there's a moment that comes when he touches us and we receive him. Hallelujah. And we experience his glory. Hallelujah. We experience the glory that he pours out on us. I believe as the apostle said that, and it is true. There's the glory of God. There's glory that's only his. And there is some glory that he pours out on his saints.
Yeah,
amen. Glory be to God. When Simon the Cyrene, and you know, that's very powerful. He had to be made to help Jesus. I thought about that, just going back to that a little bit. We were made to praise him. We were made to love him. We were made to worship God.
Yes.
We were made to serve him. You see? But we struggle at times with carrying the cross. But why do we allow ourselves to be downhearted, to stay in a state, in that state, when we know that God's going to help us? He's going to give us someone to help us carry that cross. Hallelujah, which is Jesus. He's already given, let me rephrase, he's already given us Jesus, and Jesus will help us to carry the cross. And then the other thing is that others will come in to help you too. Just like God, the Father, gave Jesus, his son, help, he'll send people to help us as well. And we thank God that we have people, friends of ours, brothers and sisters, that will come to our aid when we need help. Thank you, Jesus. So allow God to help you. Look up to him. Run to God. Run to Jesus. And know that nobody can help you like he does. Nobody can touch you the way he touches you. Nobody can whisper into your ear, hallelujah,
yes,
like he can when he whispers in your ear and speaks to you or speaks to you through your spirit. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else sounds like him. Nobody else can soothe you and comfort you like our comforter, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can help you the way he does. Amen.
Yes.
Thank
that?
You, Jesus.
No.
At the beginning of this psalm, first, the psalmist declares his love for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And the next thing he does is he declares his absolute dependence upon the Lord. As we read that, he said, I love you, Lord, my strength. I love the Lord. And when you love the Lord, it gives you strength. Hallelujah. Then he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that saying? That's saying to us, and that says to me, that he will live his life with this in mind. And this is how you develop the mind of Christ, when you know that he's your absolute. And I always say there's no absolute but God. Nothing is absolute. There is nothing in this world that's absolute. No one in this world that's absolutely faithful. I mean totally, totally faithful to you like Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That will be there for you. Nobody can do what he does. This is what I know. You have faithful friends, but it's not that depth. It's not deep like what Jesus does.
Hmm.
Because he's deeper. His love is deeper. His love is greater than any love we know. Amen? So we can declare his, David is declaring his absolute dependence on God. The whole time he was running from God, from Saul, he was praising God. Hallelujah. He was worshiping God. Glory be to God.
Unknown caller.
Hold on, please. Be right with you. Hold on, please. Be right with you all. The phone number for you is going to contact here. Okay, the name is Sonia with True Health. Okay? And
yes,
the phone number is 985. I'm back. I had to take that phone call. Okay. So when David says, that he loves the Lord and that he knows he can depend on the Lord. That's how I feel. I know I can. Bishop knows he can. People on the line know we can depend on the Lord. And we can rest in Jesus because we know. But we have to have that relationship to know. And when we speak of love, when someone loves us, we love each other. A married couple loves each other. We fondle each other. We hug. We kiss. We do these things because we love each other. We talk with each other. We're considerate of each other's feelings. All of this is because we love. And so the psalmist is saying that he's so filled with the love for the Lord that he just wants to get real close. Don't we pray for a closer walk with God? Don't we pray to be real close to Jesus? That's where we want to be. Why? Because when we say we love him, we just want to be real up and close to the point where you just feel like I can just lay in his bosom. I'm in his bosom. I'm putting my head in his lap while I'm praying, and I'm on my knees. And I've got my head in his lap, and this is how we think, because we know he's with us. Hallelujah. And we feel like we're being hugged. We're hugged by Jesus. He's holding us in his arms. Hallelujah. Just like a child, just like a baby, and a mother holds that baby in her arms. And that baby is close to her breast, or even breastfeeding. My God, but we're close to Jesus. We're just that close. Hallelujah. That's how we want to be. That's the feeling of I'm safe with Jesus. I'm resting in the arms of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just like the baby lamb. Jesus holds those baby lambs in his arms. And when one of them is hurt, he cuddles them. He wraps them up in his garment, and he cuddles them and nurtures them until they are well. And that's what Jesus does. If we are sick, he will nurture us, heal us, provide for us every need. I don't know where she's at. I think she's okay. She's right next to you.
Okay. I'm so sorry about these interruptions.
So we want to be real close to the Lord, and we want to hug him. And we want to feel that we know that his arms are around us. And his arms are not like anybody else's arms, y'all. Nobody else got arms like the Lord. No, God's arms cannot be measured. I can measure my arms. I can measure my arm. I know how much strength is in my arm. I know how much weight I can pick up. I know what I can do with my hands. I know what I can do with my arms. I know how tall I am. I know my height. I know all of that. But God cannot be measured in no kind of way because he's spirit. He's all spirit. And he's almighty. Hallelujah. He cannot be measured. Amen. So, when our hearts are filled with that love, we feel his strength. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
So, when we love other people, we want to please them. We live to please them.
Okay.
Our children, our husbands and wives, and just for no reason at all. Sometimes I'll tell my daughter, or I'll walk up to my husband and I'll just rub his head, or I'll just put my arms around him. Just for no reason, just put my arms around him, or he'll blow me a kiss. I could be in the kitchen, and he'll just blow me a kiss, you know, and we've been doing this for years. We've been married for many years. So this is what love is all about, and we have that love in Jesus Christ. Amen? We have the greatest love that we'll ever know, and that love is his love. No greater love than Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know you can depend on him. Glory be to God. And so that's how much we love our family. We love our family very much. Glory be to God. I'll grab my grandson, and he'll walk up to me and give me a kiss on my cheek, and I could just be sitting out not doing anything. But he'll walk up to me and kiss me on the cheek. The other night I told him, he said, "What's wrong, Granny?" I said, "My stomach hurts." And he just put his hand on my stomach and rubbed it. That was so sweet. But that's when you love people. That's when you have that compassion and you care. And my grandson loves us very much, and we love him very much, and Jesus loves him more. Do you need anything? All through the day, he'll be asking us, do you need anything? Matter of fact, this morning before he went to school, he said, "Granny, do you need anything? You're all right? Are you all right?" And I said, yes, and I blessed him before. I said, "God bless you," you know, and just sent him out with a blessing. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So Mary Magdalene had that same feeling in the book of John chapter 20 when she encountered Jesus Christ. And also by the disciples when they saw him in Matthew chapter 28. You know, that's how they felt. They just wanted to hug him, love on him. And Mary felt that way, but Jesus said, I have not gone to my Father. I have not ascended to my Father. So she couldn't touch him yet. But after he went to meet them, after he went to see them again, after he had ascended and began to walk the earth again, they were able to hug him. Imagine that. They were probably falling down at his feet. I know I would have been, and I do it now when we pray. We fall down at his feet. You know, we're going to worship God. And I'm sure they fell at his feet. I'm sure they hugged him, loved him, and kissed him. My God, on both cheeks, just kissing Jesus. Because I'm so glad to see you, Lord. I'm so glad you're back, Lord. That's called worship. It's called worshiping the Lord. You know, I don't worship Bishop. I honor him, but I don't worship him. I only worship God.
Yeah.
I only praise God. But I do praise, you know, I do give God thanks. And, you know, we can show people how much we appreciate them by what we do and also by what we say, but more so by what we do. But anyway, considering all that the Lord has done for us and how he loves us and has made a way for us to be saved, you know, our hearts should be filled with that kind of love for him.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. And so in these verses, David uses this personal, when he says my, that's called a personal pronoun. Amen? My. You realize that my is the first pronoun learned by most children. It's a pronoun. They say things like my toy. I remember when my little grandson didn't want anybody to play with his toys. That's mine. That's mine. My toy. And I find myself saying my house, my thing, my children, but they're Bishop's children and my children. But I'll say my children, you know. And but the children will say, this is my room. Get out of my room. As if they were paying a note on the house. Get out of my room. Taking possession of something that they're not even paying for. But this is my room. This is my house. These are my toys. These are my things. So this is just like, so we are just like those, we have those childish ways of saying that we know what is ours. So David is expressing this like a child, like a little child, that childlike faith in his relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When Jesus said in the word, suffer the little children to come unto me. When they were trying to, the disciples were trying to stop the kids because they didn't want the children to bother Jesus and all of that. And he said, suffer the children to come unto me,
suffer not the children to come unto me
because, that's right, don't stop them because this is how we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have that childlike manner. Glory be to God when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to our Father in heaven. We must have that childlike way about us. And in the Greek, that verse, that particular verse means suffer not the babies. It means babies, not a toddler, not a teenager, but a baby. That's what it means. When you look it up, it means baby. So we're like babies in the arms of God. Amen. Safe with God. Because he's going to take care of us like babies. Babies have need of everything. A baby can't do anything for himself. A baby can't deliver the word. First of all, a baby can't feed himself. He can't walk by himself at first. He got to crawl. You know, all these things is elementary. But certainly a baby can't deliver the word. A baby can't be an evangelist. A baby can't be a teacher. A baby can't do any of these things. But we're babies, but God is working through us. And we have to remain his babies, his children. We're his babies. And he's holding us in his arms. He's guiding us in his wisdom. Glory be to God. He's protecting us and keeping us safe. All of these things he does. So that's why we have this topic. And this is why God put it on my heart. Because there's been some heart-wrenching things that's been going on lately. We trust the Lord. Hallelujah. And I thank y'all for praying for us. But I tell you, it has been kind of rough. But we're still here. And we were resting in God the whole time. Resting in God still. Still having phone calls. Still working on some things with different people and a lot of phone calling. And it's so much phone calling and so much going here and going there. There's hardly any time for anything else because we're trying to work on some things. Work on some things that's really good. And it's all well. The Lord let me know it is well. He reminded me it is well. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't be disheartened. Just know that I am with you. Amen.
Yes.
But we're human. And so sometimes we feel a little down. Sometimes, you know, we cry. Sometimes we
we just get to the point where, Lord, I need you there. I just need you all the time. But, Lord, right now, sometimes you feel like, Lord, I don't know if I can make another step.
Mm-hmm.
But we do. He gives us the strength like this just all through the day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We know our strength comes from the Lord.
Yes.
So David is going to live for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He has made up his mind. He made up his mind, I'm going to live for the Lord. Mm-hmm. We have to make up our minds that we're going to live for him. We're going to do for him. When you live for him, you live the word, you're going to do the word.
Yes.
So we got to live for the Lord, to love the Lord and depend upon the Lord for everything we need. That's what David did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. I think I know we all need to have the same desire to love the Lord. And when we love him, we live through him. Amen. So we praise the Lord. David is praising the Lord, thanking God, leaping for joy.
Mm-hmm.
We can leap for joy when it's all over. When the storm is over, the weeping stops, the struggle stops, the storm is over.
Mm-hmm.
The storms will come, but one day they'll be over.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Just like the tornado ripped through Louisiana in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, houses are down in St. Bernard Parish. Houses are flattened. Some people lost their lives right here in Louisiana. And it was headed for St. Tammany Parish where we live. But God stopped it. God stopped it. We had some strong winds, but the tornado never got here. I began to walk the floor and pray for us and also pray for others. And praying that no one lose their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're praying for the people to be restored.
Yes.
My God. We got to pray. Many people are suffering right now.
Mm-hmm.
These people lost everything. St. Bernard Parish, the Ninth Ward in New Orleans. These are different parishes and wards. We go by wards and parishes. But it's all in Louisiana.
Yeah,
it's the only place.
Counties
and all, yeah. That's right, Bishop.
Oh, and by the way, not to cut you off, but Ed, I tried to get in touch with the pastor, Stewart. He lives in Gretna.
Yeah.
And I understand it's part of Gretna, and I couldn't make contact with him.
Yeah, the number is not good.
If anybody makes contact with him, I want to find out if he and his family are doing okay.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he is, because God protects his people,
yeah.
And I'm sure even when things happen with us or to us, God still fixes it.
Yeah.
We still have the favor of God, but more than one time a tornado was headed here, but it didn't. It came, but it passed over us. Another woman of God and her husband live in St. Bernard Parish, but the tornado passed over them and hit another parish. And also New Orleans, another section, yeah. And then it hit New Orleans East. So Apostle Stewart knows about these areas we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people's houses are gone.
I don't know if he's alive. But I was
usually
about
he
the
is,
people
but we
who
don't.
Are actually in it. But I had this number in the ring, and I couldn't get in touch. He wouldn't give it to me.
Mm-hmm. So one of the most important things in our life is knowing that we are right with God, that we are in right standing with God. And when we know that we know that we're safe with him. We know that we can rest in him regardless of what's going on. We've been through many storms. We've been through stormy weather, literally stormy weather. When the weather was coming, we left. You know, the Lord provided for us and thank God, because of him, we were able to leave, able to take care of, you know, able to get what we needed while we were on our way. And when we got there, glory be to God, God took care of us. It wasn't the government, God.
and still is God that took care of the Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter and my sons and all of our children and grandchildren, God took care of us. It was not the government. It was God. Hallelujah. We depend on God for everything. Amen. So David knew that he was saved by grace, and it isn't good enough just to know that I'm part of a religion. It isn't good enough just to know that I go to church. It isn't good enough just to know that I can play the song and sing the song. What's the best thing to know is that I can rest in Jesus. That's the best thing to know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's not good enough just to know that we can stop doing some things that's not good or things that's wrong. It's not good enough just to know that we can join the church and be baptized and be a member of a great church. But to be saved, it's wonderful. To be knowledgeable of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to love on him like he's worthy to be loved, that's what we got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Bless
see
you
later.
Man.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
All right. You got your little red carton? Okay. Bye bye. Come on. Come here, Nora.
Come in, Nora.
She's on top. She's not gonna jump that far. So just know that you have the Lord on your side. Hallelujah. David said, and it's in the Word. I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Don't you know? Don't you know? There's so many scriptures, so much of this word that we need to learn and get it in our spirit, get it in there, and remember it so that when something is going on, we don't even have to open the Bible. It's already in us. It's like we're a walking epistle. We have that word in us, and we can begin to speak that word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You could be out somewhere, and something is going on. Like when that man fell out at the gym. The man passed out at the gym. And everybody was around saying, oh. And I said, move, please move. Got the word in my belly, and I declared that that man was well. I declared the word of God over that man, and that man got up. They called the ambulance. Well, before that ambulance got there, God had resuscitated him. That's right, because we are the church, and wherever we go, we got the word. You got to be the church. You got to have the word in you. Hallelujah. Wherever you go, I didn't have a Bible in my hand. But I got the Bible in me. Amen. And that man was laying on the ground. Totally out.
Yeah.
Comatose. Couldn't hear. Wasn't moving. But God got him moving.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me. I was just the vessel that God used at that time. Because everybody else wasn't even giving the man air. They all around. Everybody came running. But nobody was praying. My God, but when Jesus shows up, hallelujah, something good is going to happen. Glory be to God. Something wonderful happened with that man. When that ambulance got there, he was already recovered. Now, I don't know why he went down, but Jesus brought him up. Amen? So be sure above everything else that you are saved and you're only saved by grace. You see, we got to be sure. Hallelujah. We got to be sure that our faith in Jesus Christ, that we absolutely have faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Nothing else will work. We got to be saved. We got to be saved, and we got to learn about him. We got to love on him, learn on him, love on him, and live for him. Amen. Live for the word. Hallelujah. We got to be living the word. So in David's relationship with God, he finds all the strength that he needs to make it through life. Hallelujah. And David is praising God. And he's letting us know, God is letting us know that his power is with us. His power is in our lives. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David says God is his rock. When everything else around us is being tossed and turned and everything is twisted, it seems twisted, and everything seems to be going out of whack, just remember that God's word remains the same. God is forever the same, and God is always stable. So because he's always stable, we have that stability. Amen. Because we lean upon the rock. We stand upon the rock of all ages. Hallelujah. Our house is built upon the rock.
Yes.
And that's how our house will stand. My temple, we stand. Amen. Lord have mercy. Got to answer this. Amen. Hallelujah. David is also saying in his psalm that he is our safety. Hallelujah. He's our fortress. Hallelujah. And a fortress, when they say fortress, they're talking about those citadels, those mountains, those lofty mountain citadels, and they would flee there. And David was running from Saul, and that's where he was fleeing. He was going into the mountains. And there are mountainous citadels, okay? And it reminds us that the Lord has a place of safety for us to run to, and that place is in him. There's a place that God has for us in him. And he will lead us to places of safety, just like he led us to St. Louis after Katrina. He led us to safety, got us out of New Orleans, letting me know through the dream that he showed me that this was going to be very bad. And also it was saying on the news. And I said, look, I know what the news is saying, but I saw it with my own eyes. Hallelujah. Jesus showed it to me. The Lord showed it to me. Hallelujah. How bad it was going to be and how the water was going to take over. And he even showed me how it was going to look. I saw some things. He showed me some things about how it was going to look after. And so when we trust God, he makes a way out of no way. Amen. And we will prepare to leave. God will prepare us for every aspect of our lives. We are prepared. We're prepared to go or prepared to stay. We are prepared to do everything that he has assigned us to do, whether it be an assignment, like we have this assignment on this line, or whether it be an assignment to go to a hospital, an assignment to be somewhere that we don't even know we're assigned to. Just like I was in the gym that day when that man fell out. And we don't go to the gym. We weren't going every day. We were going like 4 days a week. But that particular day, we were there when Jesus was going to use us. Amen? We were there. And so this is what he does. Amen.
When the two ladies came, and that lady was, she was so sure that she could not do anything, and you talked to her and prayed with her, and she used to come every week. Another lady would show up, but she mm-hmm. was just, you know, hey, I can't do this.
Right. Amen. Mm-hmm. You're right, Bishop.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Oh,
you know,
it, God has done. You know, just flashback.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, you'll get those flashbacks, but you see, that's good because that's why we can count it all joy even while we're going through our trials, because we look back. We look back and we know okay, God, you delivered me from this, you delivered me from that, you were there for me for this, you were there for me for that. And we have those encounters so we can always look back, hallelujah, on all the times that God has been there and made a way out of no way, kept us safe, glory be to God, kept us safe from the wicked wiles of the enemy. In times of adversity and trial, God was there. Glory be to God. Psalm 51, 57 and 1 tells us that God is there in times of adversity, trial, and trouble. Glory be to God. And also in Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says that Satan is like a roaring lion. But he's only roaring. He's only making noise. But Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Not the devil. Glory be to God. So the saint has a place of safe refuge in the day of attack. Amen. David was safe the whole time he was running. God gave him Saul's son. We talked about how God will give you people for your life, people that are faithful. Hallelujah. People that will stand with you, pray with you. Glory be to God. Be there for you. And he gave him Jonathan, Saul's son. My God. Saul was so angry with Jonathan, he tried to kill his own son. My God. He wanted to kill David. He wanted to kill his son. But God had assigned Jonathan to David. David was his assignment.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Saul threw a javelin.
Yes.
His own son.
Yes.
That's
how mean and hateful he was.
He would have been killed if he would have lived.
So saints, you have a place of safety, a place of refuge in the day of attack. God is our fortress because of his perfect peace and safety.
Yes.
Amen. We can rest in the arms of Jesus. Right. We can rest in Jesus. That is our topic today. Because I've been resting, y'all. I've been resting in God. I've been resting in him. Hallelujah. Since I've been saved, I've been resting in God. I've learned to trust him no matter what. And Bishop has done so, has also done the same thing. And together we trust God. Hallelujah. Together we hold hands. Together we pray. Together we praise. Together we worship God. Amen. Together we honor God. Glory be to God. And he keeps us together. He has kept us together all these years. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So God is our Savior. He's our deliverer. Hallelujah. Our rescue. He rescues us and delivers us from all danger. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, the Lord saved us, and we have been received by him by faith. But he goes on saving us day by day. Day by day, y'all. Week by week. Hallelujah. Year after year after year. And when this life is over, we will be ultimately saved when we arrive home in heaven.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. If we can never find another thing to raise a praise to the glory of the Savior about, surely the redeemed can say, I am redeemed. I've been redeemed. And praise the Lord for his saving grace. I have been redeemed. The Bible said, let the redeemed say so. Amen? And this is what we're doing today.
Yeah.
We're saying we're redeemed. We're saying we know we have help from our Lord.
Yes.
We're saying we know he's a present help in the time of trouble. We say we know that he's our strength in times of trouble. He's our joy even while we're going through trials. He's our joy. And we do what James, in the book of James, it tells us, count it all joy in your trials, for it will work a patience in you. How does that happen? We're patient because we know God is going to come through. When we count it all joy, why are we joyful? Because we know God is not going to forsake us. It's his blessed assurance that I am right here, not going to leave you. Hallelujah. I go before you. He
He's our rear guard. He's going before us. He's on the right of us. He's on the left of us. He's all around us. He got us covered. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, and we bless you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we got to lean on the everlasting arms of God. Hallelujah. Saved by grace. Hallelujah. The strong arms of God, the mighty arms of God. His mighty hand is with us. Hallelujah. And remember, always feel like you can call on God. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Resting in Jesus. So we thank y'all. Hallelujah. Hopefully we'll be back soon whenever the Lord says so.
Yeah.
Just remember, all you got to do is rest. What is resting?
Mm-hmm.
Take time to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Take time to rest, especially on the day that God gave us to rest.
That's right.
You're resting in Jesus Christ. You're resting on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not on a Sunday. The Sabbath starts at sundown on a Friday, so sundown on a Saturday. That's the Sabbath. I know somebody that thought the Sabbath was all day Saturday.
Okay.
It is, and it is till evening.
But it's from
Friday, sundown, Saturday, sundown. And that's the Sabbath. And God said to rest from all your work on the Sabbath. It's all right to work all week. But rest on the Sabbath day.
Sunday to Friday.
And when we're resting in God. And we're not supposed to do anything on that day but praise God, worship God, rest in Him. I'm not talking about just reading a couple of little sermons and going about your business and go shopping somewhere. You know, that's just an example. Or it's the Sabbath. But no shopping. Some people will say, well, that's not working. No. When we're resting in Jesus on the Sabbath.
You're working your feet, your arms, your eyes.
Yeah, we got to rest in God. Sit down with God. When Friday comes, now, it's okay to listen to a sermon. It's okay to go to Deacon Fraser's prayer line.
Yeah.
It's okay to go to, yeah, you're still praising God. But it's not okay to do anything else because God said to rest. Rest from your work. I don't cook. Not going to cook. Not going to do anything. No work. We don't do no work on that day. But a lot of people feel like it's just the Sabbath, so, you know, I can read a few of the verses and just go ahead. But no, we should spend that time with God, and we should really, really be happy about it and be glad to do it and feel good about it. And, you know, God will share with us many things when we take the time to spend with Him. Amen. Praise God.
You know,
glory to God.
Sabbath is a good time
mm-hmm.
to do a 24-hour fast.
Mm.
From sundown Friday to sundown Saturday.
Yeah.
It's a 24-hour fast. That's a good time. Obedience to God. But God says, if you want to fast, no, he says, when you fast.
So remember, we got to be like the little children. He said, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. Because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.
Yeah, how about
that? Uh-huh. That's what Jesus said. Don't. That's in Mark. That was one of our scriptures to go to. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Because the people were bringing the children. I had to go back to that. We have to have that childlike manner,
yeah.
That baby. I'm a baby, which means I need thee, O Lord, for everything. I'm incapable of doing anything without you. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
Jesus was upset with them for coming.
That's right.
You know, Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He said, feed my lambs.
Feed my lambs. That's right. The baby.
The baby. But at the same time, even if you're not a baby, you still could be you could be an adult, or you could be a sheep and not a lamb.
But we're still babies. We're still babies. God still has to carry us. Jesus still carries us. And he said in 15, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.
My God.
That's some serious business right there. That's serious right there. And after taking them in his arms, he laid his hands on them and blessed them.
Now, hallelujah.
He took them in his arms, and that's what he does with us. Amen. We're in his arms.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. And another scripture we had for you all today before we close, let's go to that one. To God, hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We had Ephesians. No, not that one. We didn't do Ephesians. Wait, let's go to this one. I had it pulled up. Here it is. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Matthew 23,
mm-hmm.
verses 37 to 39, one of our scriptures for today. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. That's our other scripture for today. Now, I have just a little quick story about this. I heard a preacher say this, that there was a hen in a barn began to burn. A lot of smoke. Well, the hen died, but she had her chick under her wing. Oh, my God. Chicks were safe, but mama died. The hen died. So it's relative to what I just read. We're under the wing, under the shelter of our God.
Yes.
And nothing is going to kill us. Only God will take us. Nothing is going to kill us. God is going to bless us, keep us safe. And I thought that was so good. And it brought to mind when I read the scripture, it brought to mind the story that I heard about the hen. And it was really a true story, he said, about the hen under the wing. The hen had her babies under her wing. Amen. And that's where Jesus got us. We're in his arms. We're safe. Hallelujah. Don't ever think that you're not safe, because you are. And we praise God. We apologize again for all of the interruptions, but we're still working on a lot of things concerning my son, and I'm getting a lot of calls. And so we're still working on things, but it is well. Amen. Hallelujah. All is well.
Yes.
That is how I go through life, saying, I know it's all well because I have Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that we know we should honor the Sabbath day rest, laying aside everything that will keep us away from you. Hallelujah. Because when we rest in you, Jesus, we are telling the world and reminding ourselves that God provides everything for us. Hallelujah. Not like the world.
not like being in the world in this, but being in Jesus will do. Just keep you safe. Hallelujah. Resting in Jesus. And I thank God for this word. And I don't believe we're finished, but we can do a little more on this. There's so much that God is to us. He's our Sovereign Lord, and He's the Sovereign Lord of the universe, and we just thank God. Because we're resting in Him, we have the strength, and we have we're ever rejoicing because of what He's already done. Amen? And for what He will do. Amen. Glory be to God. So I've enjoyed this, hopefully we'll be back this week sometime. Maybe we'll be back Saturday. I'm not sure what Apostle will want us to do, but we're back. We're back, and we thank God for it. Amen. Amen. So Father, we are so grateful for this word. We thank you so much that we know we can face anything. We can face anything, knowing that you are with us, knowing that you're fighting the battle, knowing that you're pouring out your love on us, oh, Father God, knowing that you're pouring out your mercy, pouring out grace. Hallelujah, God. We know we can face anything, Father. And, Father, I pray for those who are suffering right now, God, we pray, oh, God, that you pour out, Father God, pour out your mercy, God. Oh, God, we pray for the healing for those who have been hurt, because many were injured in this storm, and many are injured all around the world because things are happening everywhere. There's devastating weather in different places. Mm. My God, people are killing each other. You know the whole nine yards. A very sad thing happening. We pray for the family members of the grandmother who was dragged to death by a car, that her grandchildren wanted to use the car. Father God, you know the story. And the lady was in her seatbelt, and they couldn't wait till she got completely out of the seatbelt. And they opened the door, and she was hooked to the seatbelt while they were speeding off with the car. And that grandmother died. And so, Lord, we pray for the rest of the family who is grieving over their grandmothers mm-hmm. and people around the world, God. Oh, Lord, that is suffering in one way or another. My God, we pray for their healing. We pray for deliverance. Father God, we pray for restoration and rejuvenation. Oh, Lord God, and we're praying for revival.
Yes,
we're praying for revival to come, Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, we need it, Lord, in this world. We need revival, God. We need revival. Oh, God, on a personal basis, Father God. We need revival in families, Lord. We need revival, Father God, in your church. Father, we just thank you now for revival. We're thanking you in advance, God, because we know revival is coming in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we know that you're the healer, Lord. We know that you're healing the sick now, God. Oh, God, we know, God, that you are providing for the needy, Lord. We thank you, God, for making shelter for the homeless, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God. Oh, God, we're asking you, God, to help the church to wake up, God. Wake up the church, oh, God, so that we can do what thus saith the Lord, so that we can be on assignment, Father God, and be ready to go wherever you send us, Father. In the name of Jesus, wherever you want us to go, that we be ready, God. In the name of Jesus, to be prepared, God, even for when the rapture should come, Lord God. If the rapture should come tomorrow, that we be prepared to go, Lord. Prepared to go with you and not be left behind. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we pray for every family. Hallelujah. For every family to be saved in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Father, we're praying for our children, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Keep our children and teach our children. You said you would teach them. They would be taught by you, that our descendants would be taught by you, God. That's what you said. And that our descendants would be blessed, Lord. And so, God, we're thanking you for the blessing. We're thanking you, God, for the lost children that are out there, God. We're thanking you, God, oh, God, for gathering them up. Lord God, and saving them, God. Oh, Lord, that their eyes, with the scales would just fall from their eyes, Lord, that the lost would be saved in the name of Jesus Christ, yes. God. so much devastation. Oh, Father God, but we know, God, that you are able to take care of it all. Father, help our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering because they love you. Missionaries, locked up, people who you have sent to various parts of the world. And, Father God, many of them are being persecuted. Many Christians being persecuted. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. In the name of our Holy Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we pray. Praying for everybody on the line. I pray, Lord, that they've been blessed by your word in the name of Jesus Christ, even with all of the interruptions, God. Oh, Lord, I pray that they've all been blessed. Because I truly am blessed.
Yes,
even with the interruptions, I'm still blessed. I was blessed to study it and blessed to deliver it because it is you, oh, God, that delivers the word through us. In Jesus Christ's name, blessed to have Bishop right here next to me, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed to know that he's by my side. Hallelujah. And that he's a man of God who loves Jesus. I thank you for my husband. I thank you for Apostle Calendar and his family, Lord. Blessed man of God. Hallelujah. Man of God who loves you, who honors you, and who has given his life. Oh, God, thank you, God. He's given his life for the kingdom. And, Father, we thank you for being such good company, Father. Hallelujah. Because you said bad company corrupts good ways. Bad habit corrupts good manners. And when we're around other people that is not of you, God, you can develop bad habits. And it will corrupt our good manners that you have given us, Jesus. And so we're glad we're in good company for those. I don't know who's all on the line, but I thank God for each and every one of you. And God bless you all. And God keep you all in his perfect peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And we say amen and amen. Glory be to God. Bishop.
Now, as I said at the beginning, very beginning, that if you had backslidden, do it now. Don't wait until the end of the sermon. Do it now. You know? Now, if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, this is your opportunity.
Hallelujah.
Don't pass it by. For I said from time to time that if you cross over and you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're doomed for eternity. Confess a very, very simple confession. Beginning in the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8, and then goes to the confession is in verse 9. Now, it says in verse 8, but what does it say? It says that Christ died for our sins, that we believe. And the word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you have to repent. You have to speak it out. I'm sorry. You have to speak it out because the word is in your mouth. You can't think about, I'll do it. My church is, they have a baptismal service on this Sunday coming up. And, I got to wait another month or whatever. No, you don't. No, you don't. If your pastor, preacher, pastor, whoever leadership you're under, if they only believe in receiving Jesus as the Lord and Savior once a month, having communion Sunday, no such thing. Every Sunday is communion Sunday. And so is every day of the week, Monday to Saturday. You still have Jesus to confess your sins to every day. Every day. You don't have to do it once a week. You can confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior each and every day. The more you confess him, the closer you get to him. And by the way, Christian life is a good life.
Yes,
people
it
think
is.
When you become a Christian that you're oh well, they're just dead. They're not going to smile anymore. You know, they can't enjoy their lives, and that's so untrue. Christian life is joyful. As long as you live in the obedience to the law of God Almighty. God didn't say that you couldn't have a birthday party. God didn't say that you couldn't celebrate your wedding anniversary. You know, God didn't say you couldn't do these things. He wants us to enjoy our lives. But he doesn't want us to get hooked up with the worldly evil. You know, because some people think, well, if I go out and I don't drink, but if they have liquor at this, liquor at this bar that I'm going to stay in, sit in and talk to my friends, then why are you going? Why are you going? For the friends? For the liquor? But no. You're going because you want to speak to someone about receiving Jesus. Believe me or not. You know. Apologize. Yes, apologize.
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you, Apostle.
Amen.
No.
Pete Barnes.
Oh, God. Hold on a second, please.
Praise the Lord. Good morning to everybody. Do you want me to read?
I have to finish Mother Grant. Good morning to you also. That's okay. I know the other phone was ringing and it was a call we had to receive. All right. Now let me say, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's your opportunity. Don't pass it by. Don't wait until next week or don't say it to yourself. Speak it out loud. That's why verse 8 says the word is near you. It's in your mouth because you must speak it out loud. Simply because you're acknowledging to the world that you're receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the devil is of the world. He can't read your thoughts, but he sure can inject thoughts into your mind. But he can't read what's in your mind. Speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. And say, I receive Jesus. And the confession is made in verse 9. Lord, I know I've sinned. And I've fallen short of your glory each and every day. But I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not repeating this verbatim, but you can look at the Bible. If you have a Bible, go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And it says in chapter 9, that if you believe that Jesus died for our sins, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So you have to, but you have to believe. And your next step is to repent. Repentance is not going back, not backsliding, not going back to the way you were living, doing whatever you were doing before or doing something else that's contrary to the word of God. You receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, live the word.
Amen.
Just live the word.
That's right.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes, Lord.
Obedience. Obey the word of God. The Ten Commandments. Obey them. You know. And there's the Beatitudes. Read them, learn them. Be this, be that. You know, the be attitudes. That's the attitude that you should be like. And then it's like a reflection of Christ. You're being like Christ. You're a Christian. So, Lord, I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Please accept me. I'm seeking you as my Lord and Savior because I know you are. And I'll be free of sin. Now, if you've made that short confession in verse 9, your any sin you committed, you're clear. You're free.
No matter what.
You're free.
Amen.
You know, don't, you know, hey, just, you've been forgiven. Do not stain your record. You know, don't go back to what you were doing. If you were smoking weed or drinking alcohol, done excess. The word didn't say you couldn't drink. It said don't get drunk. It says do not get drunk. It didn't say drink, because when you take communion, you are to take it with blood. The blood of the Lamb, which is wine, blood of Jesus Christ. Now, your next step is to be baptized. As we do in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 40, if you have a Bible, read it for yourself. And if you don't have a Bible, I suggest that you get one. There are many good Bibles out there, you know, that are always King James, the New King James, New Living Translation, a Logo Flag of Bible, NIV, English Standard Version, American Standard Version. They're good Bibles, Logos, you know, and just read the Word every day. Study the Word. Study it to show yourself approved. You know, earn your salvation. Earn your salvation. Through reading the Word, learning the Word, obeying God. Repent. Do not go back to what you were doing before. Now in the book of Acts, chapter 10, at verse 30, chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 2, again at verse 38, the first thing Peter said to the multitude, repent, and let every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4 of Acts and verse 12, it says very clearly, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven that you might be saved other than Jesus Christ. Didn't say Buddha, didn't say whoever, you know, Vladimir Putin. It didn't say any of those. It says Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall stop. There's no other way except through Jesus Christ. So God bless each and every one of you. Receive Jesus today. I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you have done this. And brothers and sisters who had turned away from the faith, you know, turn around, come back. I hope you did it before you even started saying it, before you started the vessel. Okay? Repent. Every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that being said, God bless you. Invite people to your baptism. And everybody that you know, people that you don't know, you know, neighbors, co-workers, enemies, friends, relatives, you know, just anybody, somebody strange on the street, had to, you know, hello, how are you? I'm going to be baptized. Would you like to come to my baptism? I'm inviting you. And, you know, by doing so, you may have somebody be curious enough, see Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Well, let me see what Christianity is about. If you draw someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have earned a jewel in your crown, bringing that person in to the Lord. God bless each and every one of you, and take care of yourselves and your families, and follow the laws of the land, and wear the mask, whether the people say it's silly or not. You look silly, you know. You look silly, you know, if you wear a mask, but you look worse if you become a corpse for not wearing the mask. And then you make your family suffer. God bless you. Have a great day. So it's back to you, and I think Mother Grant is ready to come in now. Mother Grant, we're through.
Amen.
Hey.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You want me to come in now?
Yes,
not a pastor.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. God bless you, woman of God. Blessing. I really enjoy the word that you bring forth.
Praise the Lord.
I wish you. Yes, I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, Mother. Thanks for all your prayers.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Blessing to your home. My reading is say, the Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Exodus 3:14. Yes. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Matthew 11:28-29. God said you by his grace when you believe, and you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. 1 Corinthians 9:8. Sin is no longer your master for you. No longer live under a requirement of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Praise the Lord. Romans 6:14. I tell you the truth. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you should say to his mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Matthew 17:20. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courage. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Psalms 130:17. And may God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Mother Grant. You're right in there with the sermon. This is what the Holy Spirit does, and this is what God wanted us to know. Because there's so much turmoil and so much stuff going on, God wants us to know that we can rest. And that's the message he wanted to portray to us today, to convey to us today, I should say. That you said so many of the things that I've said in the Word today. And that is God. This is God. This is what he wanted us to hear today. This is the word for today. Please rest in God. And you gave the scripture that I was going to give next time to lay our burdens upon the Lord, because he'll give us rest. Amen. It's when we're tuned in. The Holy Spirit does this. He'll drop the word that we need to release in our spirit. And you say that God is able to make grace abound towards us. Amen. And, you know, I talked about freedom. I talked about faith. I talked about the mountains being removed. I talked about being firm and standing on the word of God. And I talked about our Holy Redeemer, about being redeemed, and that we should say so. So, I mean, all of this is the Holy Spirit. And it just makes us know that we're on one accord. We're in tune together with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you, Mother, for having a listening ear. Praise God. Hallelujah. For allowing yourself to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless your family and everything that you have on your plate. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I receive it.
Praise the Lord. Say glory to God.
Thank the Lord. And we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that word. Great word that you released on today. And all the Lord wants us to do It's truly trusting.
Amen.
Trusting, that's all.
That's all.
And be obedient to him. That's what the Lord wants. And when we do that, we see that things begin to work out in our favor. It doesn't matter how the enemy tries and the enemy gonna try. Things will work out in our favor. So we blessing the Lord and praising the Lord for you and the bishop for this great word that you give today. Resting in the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just thank God. And
Hallelujah.
Father, I pray now for blessings. Oh God, to rest upon your servants. Blessings of the anointing, oh God, that destroy yokes and remove burdens, to rest upon them, Lord. Lord, that they begin to see the manifestation of your glory, oh God, like Moses says, I'm not going to go till I see your glory. Glory got to go before me. Lord, allow this glory to rest upon them. And, oh God, that as it rests upon them, it rests upon us all the same. Thank God for Apostle Stewart and know that he's alive. Safe and Pastor Joyce is alive, and we are praying and hoping that that happens to none of the other parishioners of their ministry. Because I saw it on the I saw that there was tornadoes on the in Louisiana, and I said, Lord God, I was praying. I told honey, I said, Lord, there's tornadoes over there in Louisiana. I pray that these all of my friends and family over there be safe. And you know, God is so awesome because he answers us. When we,
before
we even open our mouth, God is answering.
Because
the Bible says, while we are yet thinking, God is already doing. You know, so we thank God for that. And this word you give today, I got a couple of notes and not a lot because my phone was going off. I see you kill your phone go off. My phone go off the same way. I mean, telemarketers nonstop, Pastor. Nonstop. I mean, in the last space of time, I got about 20 telemarketers. And I have to keep hitting I like what you think. I don't think I heard anybody say that. You said,
we can't hear you, Apostle. You sound muffled.
Oh, my phone is on set. Let me put on my Bluetooth. My phone is on speaker, but let me put my Bluetooth on. Glory to God.
It was just business, and it was just stuff.
I know you were getting business. You get business, and you're probably the thing you're dealing with, but me,
but this time
the telemarketers.
I get
the telemarketers. The Shunammite woman you talked about, the Shunammite woman, and you talked about what was so beautiful about that. You said that the Shunammite woman, she kept on saying it was well.
That's
in the word. She never even didn't ever tell her husband. You know, she didn't even tell her husband that the boy was sick and the boy died. She didn't say nothing about her son. She just said she's going to see the man of God. She's going to go see the man
That's
of God.
Right.
She just said, and she sent her servant before her. And that was so powerful. Mm-hmm. And what I got from that is that no matter what you're going through, you got to say it's well. Because you're trusting in the Lord. You're depending on the Lord. You're resting in him. She never said it that he was dead. But another thing you say here that caught my eyes is that you say, when Jesus fell on carrying the cross that we should have been carrying, he fell. But the God, the Father had already had help. Simon of Cyrene was there waiting to help him. So in the same way that the Father has help, he has already prepared help not only from his son Jesus, but even from our brothers and sisters here that are living the life. They are ready and willing to help us all the time, you know. And all we have to do is call upon them. And you talked about David, and you said about David, oh, my Lord, this was so powerful. You said David never stopped praising God, even though his enemy, I wrote it down this way, even though his enemy, Saul, was chasing him.
He never stopped praising God. And see, so, see, we'll give it so fast. We tend to give it so fast when the light don't come on, when the water stop running, you know, when the car, you don't have no gas in the car. We stop praising God. I had a pastor, a friend of mine back. His name is David, Pastor Davis, out in Virginia. He lived way down in Norfolk, Virginia. He would come into Manassas. And my God, they're leaving. My wife was saying, well, why did you get gas in the car early? He thought he had enough gas in the car to get into Manassas. It's a long ride. It's a long ride from down south where he was. And I tell you, he was driving. The wife said, keep telling honey, the car is on E. It's down on the red mark now. It's on the red mark. And they kept praying and singing in psalms and all sound and towns and hymns and everything. When they got to the gas station in Manassas, and he pulled over to the all-night gas station, the car shut off. The car was driving on fumes. Because he was trusting and he was resting in God. He never said, Lord, we're going to break them on the highway. We're going to have to hope that the highway patrol find them. No, they were praising God. The wife was looking at the gas station, at the gas gate, but they were praising God. And the car drove right into the gas station, just coursed into the gas station. You see, you must recognize, and this is what I wrote down here, we must recognize that even though we are serving in spirit and in truth, we will go through storms, but we will make it through the storms. We'll make it through the storms. If we trust the one that can say, peace be still, we got to trust
That's
him.
Right.
He's the one who can stop the storm. He can stop the wind from blowing. He can cause the tornado to go in another place. He can cause the earthquake. The land is shaking, but where you are will not open. Where you're standing will not open. It will not quake. The land will just shake, but it will not open where you are because you trust in the one that keep the land together. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's what I was hearing. Glory to God. We got to rest in the Lord in the midst of all that we are going through and all of us going through something. You know, I told you I got this pain in my neck. I don't know what it is. When I press my neck, I don't feel no pain. But if I turn my head, I feel the pain. The pain is there. I don't know what it is. And I see saying I must be lift up something. No, I didn't lift up nothing. I know everything I do. I remember everything I do. I kind of go right back through the scenario when I was over the house working. I had nothing to lift up. There was nothing to lift up apart from my toolbag, you know. But I'm trusting God, and I'm telling God, thank you. In the midst of the pain in my neck, I said, Lord, I'm thanking you because you know
thank
I got
you,
work
Lord.
To do for you. And this pain can't take me out. Can't take me out of here. You know, because the first thing the devil starts telling you, no, you got cancer in the neck. You got cancer in the stomach. You got the devil starts telling you all this stuff because he wants to bring that spirit of fear. You see, but we got to have that spirit of peace. We got to have that spirit of rest in Christ Jesus. This is what I get out this sermon. It don't matter what you're going through. My God, I mean, come all around you. People going to come around you with all different type of viruses because the Bible says so. There's much more coming. But we got to remember, God said, I'll be your protector. He said, I'm going to protect you in front and at the rearward, all around you, up top, below, everywhere I'm going to protect you. I'm going to cause you to suffer. Look, I was looking at this thing the other day, and you know how many times we teach from that chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Mm-hmm. And I go, see Elijah. Pastor, this is so powerful. Man, he just blessed me. I looked at that. That God will take care of you if he got to send a bird to bring you food and meat. Do you hear me? God will take care of you if he got to send a bird to bring you food and meat. And that's what he do for Elijah. Mm-hmm. And God knew when the water was going to dry, the brook was going to dry. He said, Elijah, look, I got some more help for you. Go down there to Sarephath. There's a Phoenician woman down there that she's going to take care of you. Can you imagine that? God already knows because the Bible says he knows the end. Before the beginning,
right.
He knows the end.
Amen.
He knows everything you're going to face before you face it. And if we can get connect with God and know that He knows all things, guess what happened? We wouldn't worry. We're trying to figure how I'm going to work it out in September. God already got September covered. How I'm going to make it in December. God got December covered. What we got to do is connect to God, connect with Him, and rest in Him, knowing that He got all things together. The line is open. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Lord bless you and Bishop when you come back on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon to bring a part two of this message. God bless you. The line is open.
Amen. Elijah's story was kind of part of part two. But yeah, I remember that's a powerful, powerful thing, that a powerful story, and how God will provide no matter what, where we are and what the situation is. So thank you, Apostle, for all that you added to it. Glory be to God. We got to run to Jesus. Amen. We just got to run to Jesus. But the line is open. The line is open. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you.
You're welcome, Apostle. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yes. Bringing Elijah into it, that's so powerful. Hallelujah. Because he was there alone with God. God will put you in a place where you're locked down and you have to depend on him. Praise God. You'll lock it down. Glory to God. Line is open.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is anyone there?
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Apostle. How
praise
we doing this
Lord,
morning?
Lord.
Afternoon.
We're doing fine. We were concerned about you. We were calling. Well, we knew you were all right, but we still wanted to hear your voice. But the number we have wasn't working. But we were praying for everybody, you know, and I know y'all were praying for everybody as well. But we were calling
right.
for
you.
I
know that.
I want to check on you all.
Listening at that, yeah, thank you so much for the prayers, Apostle.
You're
praise
welcome,
the Lord. Bishop James and Mother Grant and Apostle Calendar, God bless you all today. We just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you all for your prayers. But I tell you, that tornado, it was coming straight at us. Matter of fact, I was on the line with a Bible study when the siren, you know, when the alarm went off, you know, they give you that alert on your cell phone. And I was into a Bible study. That was Tuesday night. And we just was getting ready to come on. And, you know, and several people had then come on the line. So I started the Bible study. Then an alarm came on. And I stopped. Usually when that alarm come on, Apostle, you know, when you hear about things like that, you go to a safe place, you know, in the home.
Yeah.
Maybe a closet or you know, something like that, something that's kind of fortified, maybe the strongest part of that you might think that's in your home. So I usually do that, you know what I mean? And so what happens is getting into that Bible study, and I knew it was a good Bible study. I give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. I knew it was going to be a good Bible study. And so what happened, several little things kept on happening on the line, like trying to block it from coming forth. Then all of a sudden, now we get this alarm that the tornado is coming. And so, you know, I told the people on the line, I said, listen, all of you come in, I say, and give your name. I say, because we want to personally call your name out in prayer. So the people start coming in. And so, you know, we was praying for the people that this thing don't come this way. We really don't want it to go in no other direction to hurt anyone, but we definitely don't want it to come our way. You know, we're praying that it dissipate, or, you know, that it doesn't come our way. And it was coming straight at where my children live at, where a couple of pastors that I know, and straight to Tarrytown, and that's what the news said. That's where we live, in Tarrytown, Bradley. And so the alarm went off a second time, you know, and so Pastor Joyce started praying that it just pass over us, you know, that it don't touch down. on that it pass over. If it's, you're coming straight at us, that it go over us, you know. And so she prayed that, I prayed that it, you know, that it, you know, don't come our way, and we praying that it go somewhere else, not that it hurt anyone. But these people was coming forth on the line, giving their names so that they could receive prayer, because it was coming in their direction as well. And so we kept on with the Bible study. We went on with the Bible study. And what happened is, I said, maybe it didn't come this way. Maybe it went another way. You know, because we went through with that whole Bible study, and then after that, it was no more warnings or anything like that. Come to find out, when the news came on at 10 p.m. that night, when the news came on, the news said that hurricane was headed straight for, what's the name of that wood back there where Dooch and them live at, Pastor Joyce? What's the name of that something wood?
Is it Littlewood? Oh, that's in New Orleans.
No, it's over in like Harvey there.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Pastor Joyce, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Joyce.
What? She said praise the Lord, Pastor Joyce.
Praise him so much. Praise him. Love y'all so much.
It was
Wooden
Mirror. That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where
mm-hmm.
the, you know, some of the children live at, Wooden Mirror, the grandchildren. And so coming straight at Woodmere, and Woodmere is in Harvey, and we right then, we connected to Harvey, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
how close, you know. And so it was coming straight at them and straight at us, and we was going forward with the Bible study, and we went forward with it. And so after mm-hmm. the Bible study, looking at the news, it talked about how that the hurricane came straight at Woodmere, and came straight at Terrytown, you know, it went over Woodmere and over Terrytown and touched down in, what is that, Araby or something? I don't know the name of those places. So, but it touched down in Araby somewhere. But anyway.
Yeah, it was Araby. It was
in Araby. And the lady, one of the ladies on the phone, she's been coming on the phone maybe 3 weeks now, so she's been coming to the Bible study as well. She called one of the other ladies that was on the line that's actually in our ministry. She said, you know, she said that hurricane touched down right behind my house, the street behind my house, said mm-hmm. it wiped out that whole area, that whole, and saved, it was like in her backyard,
mm-hmm.
and skipped over her.
Mm-hmm.
I say, Lord, have mercy. I just give God the glory, honor, and praise.
Yes, God. Yes,
you know,
God. Thank
straight
you.
Straight at
you.
Us and just lift up and, you know, and over us. And
yes,
one of the
God.
Ladies on the phone say hit down right at her backyard, that street behind us. They just wiped out everything all back there. You know, I say, wow, you know. And we just gave God the glory, honor, and the praise because we knew that was nothing but God, nothing but God.
That was God. That was God every time.
Every
we had
time.
Touched down behind us too, on the street right behind us, like right in our backyard, and it just went. It went past us, and it hit in the area right past us. But I was praising and worshiping God. Thank you, Jesus. And even the other night, the same thing. And I was saying, "Peace be still in the name of Jesus Christ," and just walking the floor praying. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes, just trusting God.
Absolutely.
And God will protect us. He will protect us. And I'm telling you, that thing passed by, and we also had two warnings. It was supposed to come across the twin span, but it never got here. We had two warnings. We turned everything off. I began to pray, and we turned all the lights off. We turned everything off, and everybody got quiet. And I began to pray and just walk around the house praying. And I tell you, God did it. It's nothing
it.
But nobody but God. Nobody but God.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And we give him all the glory and honor and the praise because
yes,
we know
God.
No,
yes, God.
Nobody could,
stop
could you know, stop something like that but God. You know, he's the
oh,
only
God.
One. And he gives
yes,
us authority. He gives us authority to pray. And just like he gave Elijah that authority to pray, when Elijah prayed in that same chapter that Apostle was talking about the ravens, you know,
chapter
feeding
17.
Elijah, then him going to Zarephath, and that lady also sustaining him as well, that widow woman sustained him. And then, you know, he rose her son from the dead, showing that he was a man of God. But it was all done by God. And and I, as I was listening at the sermon, well, I didn't catch much of the sermon today. I came on real late because I was up about after 1 o'clock this morning praying. But I missed the sermon, but I did hear about the hen, the story of the hen that was inside the barn that was on fire, and I thought I heard you say that she was protecting her broods under her wing. I thought that's what
right.
I heard, because I didn't catch
that's
it.
That's right.
You know, but the
fire
came.
That was the scripture that I read, but I had the story. I heard the story from a pastor, and he talked about this was a real story, how the hen died, but she kept her chicks safe under her wing.
Well, the amazing thing about what you're saying there, when you talk about a barn, you're talking about a fire where they got hay and stuff that they keep in there. You're talking about a serious fire. So the miracle about this, what you're saying is that this little hen with feathers, I'm talking about feathers now. Feathers, because that's the only thing there, you know, her body there, and she's not much to her body. Because when you're talking about a hen, you're only talking about that little bit of meat that's on the bone, the chicken. You know, somebody tell them, skin is a chicken, you know. That's real skinny, you know. But anyway, you know,
that's
people
right.
put all kind of, you know, give these hens all kind of things to boost them up, to get them big. Now you get hens now big as turkeys almost, some of them there. But anyway, what I was listening at is how that fire came and got all the way down to her wings, because that's what
my
protects
God.
It is. They are under her wings. They're sitting
that's
up
right.
under her, and all of them can't get all the way under. So what a hen does is spread herself. And what she's spreading is wings. That's all she's spreading, because she can't spread her bones her body nowhere. Her body is not going to hardly expand any. But basically, it's her wings, the feathers. She set the feathers out wide, and they get up under
right.
the feathers, and you know, partially under. And some of them don't be under her; they're only under her wing. And so we're looking at here how this fire flame that's burning up the wood, that's burning up the hay, that's burning up the stubble, all kind of stuff that's in the barn, and gets all the way to her wing. And the thing about it, cover the broods under her wing, but she died. Now, she may have died from the smoke. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what she died from, whether it was smoke or whether she actually caught on fire as well. But I would think that she may have died of the smoke, because whatever was protecting those bitters, in other words, it wasn't the flames that really burned her up. You understand? Because those little wings, but it just shows you how powerful God is. You know what I mean?
The
chickens, he can protect all of these things. He protect us from hurricanes, storms, mudslides. We're looking at how God protect us from all of these different, in these different situations, and how that, even that sun that's so hot till, oh, my God, man don't have nothing that he can make to even get close to the sun. No jet, no rocket. I know they talk about, you know, living on Mars and all of that one day, but they don't even have a rocket that could even get close to the sun, because it would burn up because of how hot the sun is. It'll melt away. It'll burn up.
That's
it'll
right.
catch on fire. But yet, as hot as that sun is, it's just so far away from the earth that those rays that come down from the sun could come and shine right through your window, you know what I'm saying, and give a glare through your curtain. And as thin as what those curtains are, God have it just the right distance away from the earth that it don't even burn your curtains up. you walk out there, you know what I'm saying? You don't get burned up. Now, you got some people that sit out in the sun too long and get suntans and stuff like that. But, you know, we walk around in the sun all day. But God have it just the proper distance away from us. Now, man said a long time ago, I used to hear this. Not only hear this, I used to see it in the science books and, you know, that the sun was 93 million miles away from the earth. And I know they can't exactly get, they couldn't possibly exactly have that right. You understand? Because, you know, you can't get close enough to measure it or measure the heat to know the distance that it is. It's just unknown. But they put down a certain distance that is this distance is, you know. But when you look at it, you see some of the things that man just, you know, he guesses that. Now, 93 million miles away from the earth is probably not even a good guess. Not even a good guess. It could be millions of times farther than that from the earth. You know, they don't know because they don't have nothing to get close enough to measure it. You know what I'm saying? It gets so close to the heat, and whatever heat that they're measuring, it may be a million times hotter than that. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know, just giving God honor and the praise of how amazing He is. You know, and all of these stars in the sky. I brought this up one time before about the stars being so many, perhaps so many millions of miles away from the sun because they look small like that because they're so high. But some of the stars is said to be a million times larger than the sun. And I know that's a feint of imagination of a guess of it being that close because, man, don't have nothing to even get close to the stars. They're so high up there. And even Satan said he would raise his kingdom above the stars. And, of course, he was cast down, you know, and one-third of the angels with him. But I was listening at that about that little hint, and I said, let me just come in and say those little few words. And also,
thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Welcome. And I heard Apostle coming in and he talked about Elijah and how that Elijah, you know, fed how God. And that's just so amazing how God could take a bird like a raven, a stingy bird at that. And ravens hide their food. That portion that they don't eat, they'll hide it. They'll hide it from other ravens. They'll get food and they'll fly somewhere and hide it and other ravens watching them. So a lot of times what they do, they'll take that food and they'll make believe that they're setting it one place and then they'll take and set it somewhere else because other ravens are watching them and wherever the ravens would put his food, another raven would go there and steal it or take it. And so a raven is so smart till they make believe sometimes that they're putting their food in one area just like they're putting it there and then put it somewhere else. That's the try to deceive the ravens. That's how smart they are. And then
I did a little reading up on it.
It's so good to read on those ravens. They talk better than a parrot. You know, they can talk like a human being. They hear things that you say.
Wow.
They can repeat it better than the parrot, better than, much clearer than the parrot.
Wow.
You know, I mean, you really think that's another person talking the way that the raven it's such an intelligent bird, and it plays with the you know the hyenas, the fox, you know, things like that. They would fly, you know, from up high and come just so close to them, wolves and things. And when the wolves try to leap up, they can't leap the distance for where that raven, you know, turns away. You know, they come swooping down, come just so far. And when the beast try to jump up to grab them, you know, they just swoom in, you know, and just fly on past them, and they would miss them. They would they very very I don't know the word to use, but they're very dynamic in being able. In other words, they have the ability, or you might use the word agility or something. You know, they're so smooth with it. And they can even fly upside down, you know, where they cruise upside down. You know, you say these birds are so, so intelligent. They're so smart the way God made them to be. Because I was wondering, why did God use the raven, you know, to feed mm-hmm. Elijah? So many birds, you know what I mean? Why the raven? But but raven is a stingy bird. In a word, a raven mm-hmm. can survive in all kinds of conditions, you know.
Amen.
And so here God uses a stingy bird to feed his prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Amen.
When the prophet runs out of water and run out of the bread and the meat that the ravens was bringing to him, then he sustained the prophet again at Zarephath by a widow woman that only had a handful of meal, not a barrel of meal, but a handful of meal. That, of course, turned into a barrel of meal because she gave to the prophet first, and God multiplied the handful of meal into a barrel of meal, and the crews of Earl never failed until the day that God sent rain upon the earth, you know. And so, you know, just listening at that, you know, these were some of the things that were coming back to me and things of, you know, some sermons that I ministered in the past.
That's good.
But I want to say this, and I'll be completed of what I want to say. I used to raise those chickens. So whenever I hear something concerning, you know, chickens or chicks or broods, or, you know, whenever I hear something concerning that, I get, you know, I start paying attention because I used to raise the game chickens, you know, the fighting cocks, and, you know, they are so game. I can tell you so much about those birds, you know. But, you know, so whenever I hear that, you know, anything to do with the birds and things, and like you said, Jesus, you know, called out to, you know, was, you know, he actually was praying for Jerusalem because he knew what was going to happen. He knew that,
yes, Lord.
That Jerusalem was going to be taken over and so many people would die and all, and the temple would be burned down. You know, he knew all of these things.
Yes,
and so he wept
for
them. And he said, you know, he cried out to them. You know, so many times
he
reached out to those people, but they never did. You know, many of them didn't, you know, submit, you know, to him, even though he came as a Jew, you know, but he loved all of the people. He didn't just die for the Jew. But, you know, and looking at that, you know, you see so much that I could see him, you know, ministering, you know, as a hen, you know, because there's no male, no female, you know, and, you know, he can be a mother to the motherless, you know, a child to the childless. He can be whatever we need him to be to us, you know what I'm saying? Father to the fatherless. And I could see him, you know, crying out for them to come. And just as a little hen, you know, she sits in the middle of that yard a lot of times when her chicks have gone away from her, you know, because she give them the freedom. They follow her, but she give them the freedom to go in other places in the yard. And they might be way in the corner of the yard. And all of a sudden, if she sense danger, she start clucking for them to come up under her wing. And they come, you know, leaving the ground, you know, running to her. Some of them leave the ground a little bit because some of them wings being got a little stronger than the other ones. And they run, they're flying toward her, coming down to the ground, running. Now they're coming in another direction, fly a little bit, hit the ground a little bit, fly a little bit. But they're coming, and they be doing that from all around the yard because she sensed danger, you know, and she's clucking for them. She make a certain kind of cluck, you know, and I know how to make that cluck. I know how to do it. I've been around them so long, studying them. I could almost tell you, is as though they be talking, and I could know what they're saying because I look at the other when one make a sound. I look at the other ones and how the other ones respond, and you know how they respond. I could tell you what's going on and what they're doing. But anyway, they come get up under her wing during that time, maybe getting ready to rain, and she's, you know, calling them up under. So they all come up under, and she'll sit there a while with them in the yard until they all get under her wing. Once they all get under her wing, then you see her heading for the hen house, you know, heading for the hen house. Now they all follow her, you know, into the hen house. But And so I get a picture of all that and how people all around the world, you know, how Jesus is crying out for people all around the world, you know, through us, through the church, you know, through the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and how we minister in the word of God. And we're crying out to people, you know, telling people, don't wait too late. Time is winding down. You know, you're not promised tomorrow. You know, we're witnessing to people, you know, giving them God's plan of salvation, you know, what they need to do to be saved. And some people, they're just not coming. They don't hear the voice of the one that's crying out. You see, now all of the different chicks and different things and chickens in the yard, they don't yield to the voice of that hen. You know, all of these little males and females, these little chicks, they be males, they be female little chicks that's run into that hen to get up under her covering, get up under her wings. But you got people around the world that you minister to. You minister to them through media, you know, television, radio, blog talk, and so many other ways of media of crying out to the people, you know what I'm saying? But those that do not have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to them, you know, they're not paying attention to it. Matter of fact, they don't hear it because they don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to them. Now, they might hear, but they're not hearing by way of the Spirit, you know, and so they can't respond like someone that's listening and hearing God's word in the Spirit. So a lot of people, they don't come. They don't listen. They go in different directions, you know, and you could say they're being rebellious. A lot of them are rebellious. But they go to the things and they flock to the things that are not of God, you know, to these concerts, to these different, you know, so many different things that they have that people flock to, you know, that's not of God, you know. But it takes people having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying for them to come to Jesus. So Jesus, amen, is just like that again. You say, okay, you set Jesus in the center of the earth. You set him in the center of the earth, and he's calling, you know, throughout the entire globe, you know, throughout the entire globe, he's calling out, you know, to people, you know, to come to him before it's eternally too late. You can imagine a chicken that size that you would set in the center of the earth, you know, and she's calling her brood from across America and around the world, you know, global. She's calling her brood. And this is what Jesus, the voice of God, is going out. It's going out around the world, but everybody don't have it. They're not being drawn to him because they don't have that ear to hear, you know, what he's saying. But those that's got an ear, you see them coming to Jesus from everywhere. They come into him, you know, because they have an ear to hear, you know what's being said. And then when they become adults, when each one of those broods or chicks become an adult and they're old enough to fend for themselves and go for themselves, then you see them go out, you know what I'm saying, they start their own families and things. And before you know it, now you got a rival. You got a rival throughout the field where they you have a rival. Why? Because, you know, others are going out and those hens are hatching eggs in different parts of the field. And they're hatching eggs, and of course, their chicks know her voice, so they stay right with her. And another hen, they will not follow. And a matter of fact, not only will they not follow another hen, but that other hen will kill them. They'll kill them. And then that hen that killed that little baby, her and her babies eat up that one that's been destroyed. You know, it's so much in that, in, you know, the animal kingdom and how that people, you know, how that you could take people, you could take the animal kingdom and, you know, and then talk about people and how that the same thing that happens in the animal kingdom is happening in the human family. And humans are supposed to be more intelligent than doing the things that they do. but they do what they do because they don't know God. And that's
yes,
the way. That's why some of the hens would kill up the other chicks' babies because she don't recognize them. In other words, that she recognized them not to be hers, so she destroyed them. You know, she destroyed them. And the only way that hen, now watch this, watch this. The only way that hen would take in another brood or another baby that's not hers or that she did not hatch is at night when she can't see. At night
wow.
when she can't see, you could take another, you know, you could take three, four of them if you like and put in there where she's at. And when she make that noise, she make that cluck, 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 cluck. When she make that cluck like that, they'll go run, they'll run up under her right fast. They run up under her quickly because if she see them, if she recognize that that's not hers, you know, she'll get up at that time and kill them. But when she don't see them and they run up under her, what happens is when she get up, when they wake up early the next morning and she see them come out from under her, you see what I'm saying? It's, you know, I'm talking about the little bitty babies. Now, the little bitty ones, be, you know, be then hatched maybe in the morning, maybe about 8 days old or 6 days old, you know, when they're about like that, you could put them in the same cage where they are, but it's got to be at night. And when she make that cluck, they're going to run up under her. And when she wake up in the morning, she's going to treat them just like her own because she really thinks that that's her babies, and they hatched overnight, or they, you know, that it was an egg or something that she was sitting on that hatched. So that's why she received them. So when we come to Jesus, we have to come to him. You know, the Bible says, you know, he calls us out of darkness through the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, those who carry the word, that's ministering the word. They ministered to people. You know, and the people are to be drawn out, and God does this. He draws them out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. But he does that through us, ministering the word. And so a lot of times we preach to people that's in darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. But for those that have an ear to hear, oh, my God, they come in. Now, it could be the darkness that we talk about when it comes down to his kingdom doesn't mean 12 o'clock at night. It could be 12 o'clock at night, but it could also be 12 o'clock in the daytime that the people being darkness and still have to be drawn into the kingdom of his dear son, to the light. So I just wanted to just kind of say those things. And when it interests me so much when they start talking about the birds and about the chickens, that, you know, it just amazes me about when
thank
I'm reading
God.
The Bible and stuff. I have read the Bible. And when subjects like that come up, I mean, God go to showing me all kind of things. How they could be metaphors for, you know, concerning the kingdom of God as well, you know, of how God speak to his people in various parables and things. And, of course, his people here, you know, those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, they hear. They see what he's talking about. They actually see, you know, see it out of their spirit. And not only hear it, they see out of their spirit one that's speaking the word of God. They see it. It doesn't matter whether he's speaking in a parable or whether he's speaking, you know, just word. You know, they understand that, they understand the parables. And it's given to us to know the mysteries of God's kingdom.
Yes.
Because, you know, you could take that whole thing that I just talked about and, you know, talk about God's kingdom. You know, just like you were speaking about the barn and the one that the fire was surrounding and, you know, how that...
Yes.
And, I mean, and the thing about it, she guarded them with her life. You know, that's what a person that's really called and elected by God, you know, a saint that's called and elected, you know, he will protect them with his life. You know, a hireling would see the trouble coming, and with a hireling, they run and they leave the sheep. You know, in this case, talking about sheep now, they run and leave the sheep. you know, but I'm telling you, when one is called, chosen, and ordained for something, they're gonna with their whole life, they'll do it with their life.
Yes.
You know,
that's right.
Even a fireman, you know, they'll go into the fire, you know, to get people out of the fire and risk their lives. Now, that's a fireman really called and chosen to be a fireman. You got some
firemen,
you know, they ain't going to dare go in there to go try to get a dog or a human being or a cat or like a possum, a calendar would say a parrot or something. But, you know, one that's really called for that, they'll risk their life, you know.
That's basically all I
wanted to say, you know.
That's beautiful, Apostle. Thank you so much. And I just was gleaning as you were talking, and you said something, and it's so profound how what you were saying relates to the Word of God so very much about the chicken and how that hen, how they can understand, they know the voice of the hen. The chicks know her voice. And the Bible says that my sheep knows my voice. My sheep knows my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And that, you know, you can hear it so clearly as you were talking. And, you know, that's what came to my mind. That scripture came to mind, that we can hear God. You know, once we have an ear to hear, we're going to hear God. We're going to know his voice, and we're not going to follow the voice of a stranger. And that's just that was so profound when you said that I didn't know that there was a certain sound that those chicks can hear and know that it's mother hen. I didn't know that. I also didn't know about the ravens and that the ravens could actually talk. I didn't know that. You know, and it's that's why it's so good to fellowship, because we learn things that maybe we never heard before. We learned something new, and that was something new to me. I didn't know. I always thought that the raven, what made me think that they said the raven is an evil bird. But when you said he was stingy and that he hides his food, and that also brought to mind so much you were saying, and my mind was going when you said about how he hides because he's stingy. And what came to me was that the birds can't hide from God. We can't hide anything from God. When God want to use it, he's going to use it. Amen. We can't hide from God. There's nothing we could hide from God. He knows where everything is. He knows what everybody is doing, even the animals. And another thing came to mind as you were talking about the animals is that the animals do what God created them to do for the most part. They do what God commanded them to do, but it's so hard for people to do what God asks of them. Many people can't do. God gave us a will. But nevertheless, once you get to know God, then you get to know his word, then you want to do what he wants to do. You want to obey him. You know, you want to do it because you want to be a delight to God. You want to praise him with your entire life and with everything that you do. So I'm not going to say much more. I'm not going to say anything more because I can go on and on, because when you were talking, I was writing. I was writing because I enjoy the word, and I enjoy so much what you just shared. And I learned something new about the ravens and also about the chickens and how that voice, how they know her voice. That was so good. And I didn't know that you worked with chicks at one time. So you
and
shared
you know,
something about yourself that we didn't know. So we thank you, Apostle.
Every time you
come and share, you share good. You share so much with us, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much,
Apostle, and I give God the glory, honor, and the praise. Another thing about that raven, though, too, that, you know, you can, you know, I mean, not just the ravens, but all of the animals, you know, you can use them as an example, you know, and use the scriptures, you know, with all of the animals. But that raven, getting back to the raven momentarily, Not only they're stingy like that, but they'll set on those eggs and hatch. They'll hatch those eggs. Now, once they hatch the eggs, a lot of times they abandon their own nest. They abandon their own nest and leave the bitties to fend for themselves.
Wow.
And what happens is the reason why some of them survive, and a raven, once again, can survive the toughest conditions. See, and I truly believe this is why God chose the raven in the 17th chapter, you know, to feed Elijah. But they would abandon their nest and leave the babies. And how they survive is they have bugs in the nest. Sometimes they have the ants in the nest. They'll survive on one another. You know, the broken eggshells, and, you know, that's how they survive. And the strong would eat up the weak. When the weak, they be weak, and if the strong is eating up the food from the other ones, they'll die in the nest. Then those little ravens will start eating that raven that's dead, you know. Oh. And once it's strong enough, then it'll leave the nest to go out on its own. But when you look at that, you think about people that abandon their children, put them in garbage dumpsters, you know what I'm saying, and you know, just kill their children, people that just abandon their children, and, you know, and this type of thing. You got so many mothers that love their children, how they take care of their children, they're there for their children, but then there are others that just abandon those children, just take them and just leave them anyway. Sometimes put them on somebody else's step or something, figure, well, maybe, you know, somebody will take care of the children. But you have all of that. And, you know, you see Africa, you see India, you see all of that, you know. And, you know, I could talk on India, talk on Africa, and talk when it comes to those chickens. You could talk on, you know, fornication and rape and all of these things, because you see how that some hens, you know, you put in the yard, you might take them from being in the yard with one rooster and put them in another yard with another rooster. They don't take to that, like talking about. They'll run. I mean, they'll fly, you know, they'll run, they'll hide. They're running from that other rooster, and that new rooster is running them all over the yard. I mean, look, he got all those other hens in the yard with him, but he's running after that one. And he runs after, and he runs after until he catches her, and he bears her down with his two legs, you know, and stand on her, you know, and then once he pull her, they call that pulling her when they, you know, would have sex. He'd pull her, and, you know, he takes and grab her behind her neck with his mouth behind her neck. That's to hold her steady, and take his two feet and put on both of her wings, you know, to keep her steady where she can't run or get away from him, and then he pulls her. Well, he actually rapes her. That's what he's doing, because she don't want to be pulled by him. She did all she could to keep from being pulled. She does everything she can to keep from being pulled by that rooster. Why? Because she's been dedicated to the other rooster. She's been dedicated to him, and she's given her life to him. See, and not to another rooster. And that's why, you know, she struggles to get away from them all she knows how. And then not only that, now you got the other hens in the yard that don't like her, that's jealous of her. You understand? They jealous of her. And they going to pick on her, and they going to pick on her. And she's got to do everything she can to survive. She's running from this one. She's running from that hen. Then she's running until she gets to a place where, you know, she could be free for a little while, until eventually they all begin to fit in like one big family, you know. And that's the same way it is, you know, with human beings and things, you know.
Yes,
and and so that's why that happens, because they, I mean, I've seen things happen where I put one hen in the cage with, it took her from another rooster and put her in the cage with, because I didn't know that these things was going on. But by me doing what I did, put them in the cage and separate them, I start seeing all of these things happen. And I start this, the reason why this is happening is because of this. And the reason why that's happening, because of that. When you tell somebody that they, a man or something, that he been henpecked, Lord have mercy, that's when another rooster is put in the yard with, you know, another rooster, and that rooster beat him. See, because they're going to fight. They're going to fight because they're territorial. And when another rooster hit a yard, you don't have to push them up to fight. You don't have to try to make them fight. It's in their nature to fight. And so why? Because, first of all, the one that's in the yard, he know he own everything, and all the hens is his. You might have 10 hens with one roost in the yard, and he rule that yard, and everything in there belongs to him, so he territorial. He's used to ruling.
Mm-hmm.
He's used to being the boss. They don't
mm-hmm.
eat till he tell them to eat. You know, you throw some food on the ground, and he'll stand over that food, and he'll call them, and he'll
mm-hmm.
When he start doing like that, he's calling them to come eat. But at the same time, he got to feed himself first. When that food hit the ground, he going to go to eat it if he's hungry. And none of them better not try to eat it, because if they go to eat it, he's going to hit them. You know, when I say hit him, he's going to kick him. Or he's going to pick him, or he's going to
mm-hmm.
kick him. And he's going to kick him away from the food. And they'll be trying to come to it, but you'll kick him away because, he the boss. And now after he done got full and he done got enough, now he's calling them to come eat. When he start doing that, here they come. And he'll let them eat all around him, all around him. But now, if another rooster comes, you put a new rooster in the yard, now that rooster going to be in that yard. He got to take over, because if he don't take over, and, you know, that's the way some people are, but if he don't take over and the rooster in the yard beat him, that's it. If that rooster beat him, not only do the rooster beat him and run him around the yard, the hen's going to beat him and run him around the yard. The rooster who wins take the other rooster heart. And once he take that other rooster heart, that's why people call people chicken. You chicken. A person, they don't realize when somebody calling them chicken, that means they will not fight. That means they're a coward. That means anybody could do anything they want to them, and they will not defend themselves. That's what that means. Because when that rooster hit that yard, he become defeated. Or if he defeat the one that's in there, you understand, and beat up on him enough. And that's if he don't kill him, because really he's trying to kill him. But if he don't kill him, because he's going to run him all around that yard, and that one that's scared usually going to get in the corner of the yard or somewhere where he could hide his head at. And he'll duck himself into the corner of that yard, his head in the corner, so that he can't get kicked or picked in the head, because, you know, it'd kill him if he, you know, pick his eyes out his head, because he'll be trying to pick his eyes out. And so you hide his head in the corner of that yard or something. Other chickens be picking him and thing, but all they picking is his back and thing, Now, you know, sooner or later he gonna be able to help, you know, raise his head up out of that corner. And when he raises his head up out of that corner, you're gonna see him running across that yard or running somewhere, running this place, running. And while he's running, every hen he passed by, they jump on him too. They pick him and kick him. And he running past that, and he running the other way, and the other one kick him and pick him like that, and as long as that other rooster isn't there. But if you get that rooster who done beat him out of the yard, if you get him out of the yard, sooner or later, them hens will beat him for so long, and they'll still run him for so long. But after a while, when he realized that other rooster is not there, the one who can kill him, he'll rise back up and take back over the yard.
Right.
And that's what's happening across America and around the world. That's what Putin is doing. That's what he's doing. He's going into a territory that's not his. And everything that's in that yard is fighting him back,
yeah.
Fighting his back, and that's what you got. And that king over that other nation in Putin, right now, they are enemies. You know, they are enemies. Now, the thing about it, if you took Putin and put him by himself, took that other king and put by himself, if they're young enough, they're going to fight each other. They would fight each other to the death.
Wow.
But if they're old, you know, one would easily beat the other one if the other one is old, because they don't have no, you know, it's like a young person beating up a young person beating up an old person. You know what I'm saying? Because
they'd be
too weak to defend themselves, you know, so. And that's what Putin has looked at that nation as though it was too weak to defend themselves, and they going over and to try to take them people land, but those people
yeah.
was stronger than what Putin think, and then they getting help also from the outside world. They starting
yeah.
to get some some help, you know what I'm saying?
Thank
but
God,
man and these animals and thing, you know, the kingdom, you know, the thing that's going on in the animal kingdom is also going on in the human family or the human kingdom. You know what I mean? You know.
Oh, yeah. You're so right. You're so right.
Oh, my.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah,
you're
I
so
mean,
right.
Like you said, Apostle, you could go on and on, you know, talking
yeah.
about those things like that. You know, it's, I tell you. And we, you know, men love to watch, you know, stories like that because they love to see because there's something about men, and some women too, but something about men that they just love to look at the wild kingdom because
yeah.
they can see how we identify a lot of times with those different animals. You know, you might see two rams get into it because, you know, one ram have to be more dominant than the others to rule the flock. You know what I mean? And that's with everything. The gorilla family, monkeys, dogs, everything is the same way. You're going to have one that's going to rule over the other. One going to be dominant over the other. And if it's a new one that come in the yard, then that one that's territorial going to try their best to kill that one. It's just throughout mm-hmm. the whole world. Even under the sea is the same thing going on. All everything that God created, you can see that war is going on. And we know that began, you know, from what Lucifer did in, you know, in heaven, was cast down
yeah.
to the earth. At first, none of these things was going on the earth. And fish wasn't
that's
killing
right.
up each other and people, you know,
no.
all of that, the things that's going is when they ate of the tree of knowing good and evil that God told them not to eat of, that when sin entered into the world, that's when all of the chaos broke out. You know,
amen.
And,
right.
you know, and they had no peace in the earth. Jesus has to give us the peace. That's the only peace we really have. They got
yeah.
the other false peace, but real peace only come from God. But anyway,
amen.
That's
spiritual thing. Amen. It's a spiritual thing. Praise God. Thanks again. It was so much. It was so good. So good. Everything that you said, Apostle, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. And I'm going to listen back because I know I can glean some more. That's why I always listen back. I always go back to Black Talk and listen to the messages because there's so much more you can get from it as you listen and listen and listen. It's the same way with the Word of God. When you listen, keep listening and we'll get more. Amen. It's like one time when I talked about the sheep. And I studied it, you know, I studied about the sheep and how the sheep relates, how it relates to the Word of God, you know, and how it relates to our lives. And I studied the sheep and I learned things about the sheep that I didn't know, about the little lambs that I didn't know. And that's what it takes. It takes study. It takes paying attention to the Word of God and paying attention to what's going on around us. So thank you so much, Apostle, again. Thank you, Apostle Calendar, and thanks to everyone that came to listen. It was good to hear Pastor Joyce's voice in the background. Haven't heard her voice in a while, but thank God for you all, and we thank God that you all are safe because we were really concerned. But you know what? Like I told Bishop, I said we already prayed, and we believe that God's people are safe, and we even believe in that neighborhood, you know, that it won't touch certain. That we actually. What we were praying for is that it would just go away. We just wanted it to go away, to disintegrate, just go away. But we knew that something was going on because you can feel it when you hear it. You can feel it in your spirit. Something really bad is going down. Something really bad is going to happen. But at the same time, we prayed. And I was just walking. I said, Apostle Stuart is fine. I said, they're fine over there. But because that's when you rest in God. That's when you rest and you know you got that blessed assurance that God is going to protect us. He's going to protect us. Without a shadow of a doubt, he's going to do that. And when we have that faith to believe that, it happens. It manifests. God shows it. Just like you said. Just like I said I would do, I'm going to do it. So we thank God that you all are all right and that I hope there wasn't any damage to the church. And you said people that you all were praying for are doing Bible study. That was powerful that day. Everybody was okay. So praise God. Amen. So we did all right here in Slidell. We didn't have any touchdowns here at all. And so we thank God for that. And we're just praying for the people who did get all of this this loss and all of this damage. And some even lost their lives. So we're praying for that. Amen. Apostle, we're done. And unless anybody else has anything else to say, we're going to get out of here and make some phone calls.
Okay, okay. You can pray and close out. Thank God for Apostle and Pastor Joyce. I'm just resting my head right now. This pain outside of my head, so I took two painkillers, so I'm just resting now. So you can pray and close out. We'll talk to you all later.
You know what, Apostle, you've been preaching a lot, and you might have strained something in your neck.
Maybe the river picked me.
But whatever it is healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I believe that.
Yes, you're healed.
Yes.
It just may be a little strain in the muscle in your neck. Yeah, it may be a little strain there. But whatever it is, it could be the way you slept. One time I pulled something in my shoulder because I slept bad and my shoulder was hurting it had been a couple of weeks. But I know it was that because there wasn't anything else wrong with it. And it was hurting. And sometimes, you know, would you say you didn't pick up on anything? But it could be that you rolled a certain way in your sleep, or as I said, you were preaching all last week by yourself. So. Yeah, that's all.
Praise God, hallelujah.
So we declare that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, God. We just thank you for protecting Apostle. We thank you, oh God, that all is well with him. All is well with his life. All is well with his health. Thank you, Lord, that he's healthy, he's wealthy, and he's wise. In your name, Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for that, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. You're covered in the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Covered in the blood.
Amen. Thank you so much. We receive it. Bishop, can go ahead and pray and close us out.
Yeah. Pray and close us out, Bishop.
Amen.
Apostle, and I will tell, I will definitely tell Apostle Miller that you asked about it. Thankful for her.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. May the Lord bless and keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon us.
Yes, God.
May the Lord give us peace.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Until we meet again.
Amen. Yes, you'll be, don't forget you all are coming back on Saturday.
Amen.
Because Minister Andrea got to go to a birthday party for her niece. So,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So we thank God for you all. You all have a blessed evening. And pray that all the phone calls come together and everything work out for your good and for God's glory. Thank you, Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. Thank you, Bishop, our brother Deacon. We thank God for Brother Grant and all those that come on and listen. Tomorrow, I think the prophetess Kirstie and her son, they will be on tomorrow. We bless you all. Glory to God.
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you all later. I'm going to relax here. Let this pain go away.
Amen.
All right. Good day. Love you, honey.
Good day. Feel better. Amen.